Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to meet you once again on this day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it because there are so many blessings that we have in knowing our wonderful Savior and the great God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who loved us and died for our sins, paid for them so that we can be part of His wonderful and great everlasting family and live in total joy with Him forever and ever. And it's a blessing to be with you and in the God's people all over the world. Some of them you are suffering, and some of the folks have gone to be with the Lord, have been had a witness for Jesus right to the time when their life was taken for Him. And of course, they've met the Lord now, and He has rewarded them for their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to talk today about a great prophecy in the Bible. We want to mention some of the great prophecies that God has given to us in our authorized Bible. And first of all, though, Brother Al Davis is our co-host with us, and he does a marvelous job. And he is pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he also has a program. And I want you to mention something about the program, and then you can tell us about a news report and the biblical perspective on the report.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you today. And just a reminder, too, that you can visit the website for Bruce's program at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. You can learn more about Bruce, listen to some of the past programs there as well. And there's some other information and materials that Bruce recommends from time to time on the program. You can find all that at whereisgodsword.com. And again, as Bruce said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we have a program called Live with Pastor Al. It's every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then every Sunday night, late night live with Pastor Al, because it's late. And it's at 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night. Both of those are live programs where you can call in with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So I hope you'll get a chance to tune in there. But again, you can find a lot of this information just going to whereisgodsword.com. Well, Bruce wanted me to share a couple of things here. And we're clearly living in the latter days, as Bruce has pointed out here, and everything from the recognition of Israel, of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by the United States, and the affirming of that by opening our embassy there just last week. What a tremendous thing that is. And now Guatemala, I believe, is opening their embassy. Several more are set to do so. And really very interesting. I was talking with somebody yesterday, another pastor who has just recently been in Israel, and they had some amazing statements that they were talking at that they said that they were looking at, I believe it's the Temple Mount Faithful or Temple Mount Institute, I guess it is, and they have some advertisements that they're playing in Israel right now. One was some children playing on the beach, and these are things that they're actually publicizing in Israel today. And as the children are playing on the beach, it's along the shore of the Mediterranean. They're making what appears to be a sandcastle. And as the camera pans back, you can see that they've made a replica of the third Jewish temple. And the announcer comes on, something to the effect of, "It will happen in their lifetime. It will happen." And then there's another one where some children are playing in a park, playing soccer or something like that. And there's an older man sitting on a bench. And all of a sudden, the children stop and they point and they look up at the Temple Mount. And there in the advertisement, they've got the temple superimposed over on the Temple Mount. Two buildings conspicuously absent, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. But they have the temple on the Dome of the Rock. And the children get all excited pointing up there, and they get the old man's attention. They get him to stand up off the park bench and turn around and look, and he sees it. And again, the announcer is something saying he will see it in his lifetime. So isn't this interesting, Bruce? You've got these advertisements now in Israel suggesting that the children, even the old people, are going to see the third temple. And I think when we see these things happening and the world coming against Israel and the world getting upset over our recognition over the relocation of our embassy to Jerusalem, and quite frankly, doing that, what we have done is we have put our stamp of approval on Jerusalem as the Jewish capital. And this is going to make it easier for other countries to move their capitals there. And it's also being recognized amongst some in Israel as this is the next step before being allowed to rebuild their temple. So amazing things are happening. And let me give you another report that this pastor that I was talking with yesterday said. There was a case, if you remember, Bruce, I think it was a couple of years ago when a guy was shooting down from the Temple Mount. He had gone up there, an Arab Muslim, and he was shooting at the people who were trying to pray at the Western Wall. And as he was up there shooting down, the Israeli Defense Forces came in and secured, and they evacuated the Temple Mount, and they secured it. Well, this is something that wasn't reported here in this country, at least. Large numbers, hundreds of Jewish people from all over Jerusalem flocked to the Temple Mount, and they began laying down on the ground all over the Temple Mount, praying to Jehovah God and asking him to bless, and presumably many of them praying for the temple to be rebuilt. And of course, the Arab Muslims protested a little bit over that because, as you probably know, you're not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount in any way, shape, or form. And they protested, and the soldiers said, well, yes, we're trying to clear them out. And they kind of took their time, you know, allowing the Jewish people to pray on the Temple Mount for the new temple. And I think it's kind of exciting. And so when we see things that are happening in the world today, it's pointing, like you say, directly to the soon return of Christ, where he's going to come and bring things to a head in this world. And of course, 7-year tribulation period, and then Christ coming and setting in that new temple and ruling over this world.
Well, thank you for that really good report. And some people might wonder why we talked so much about Israel, but Jesus said that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law and the prophets until it's all fulfilled. And so in the book of Genesis, that's the first book of the Torah, or the first book of the law. And God has made a promise to the Jewish people. And I think, just to make it clear, it states here, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to each one, that he is going to give them that land.
Amen.
And so if the nations go against it, they're simply going against the God of heaven. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up thy bones from hence. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. They found, by the way, they found that over there in Palestine, and it was near in Nablus where his tomb was. And they found his remains, part of his remains there in Nablus, was called Shechem at one time. And so we see that the Bible is being fulfilled over and over and over again. And so we can have something to believe in it. The Bible is the book of prophecy. And when the world is coming against Israel, that's really a satanic influence that stirs them up against Israel to try to destroy it, so that to try to disprove that the Bible is God's word. But the Bible is a book of evidence and proof. Our faith is not based on a leap in the dark. It's based on absolute proof, absolute evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible talks about Jesus when he rose from the dead. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And so our faith is based on infallible proofs, and God has showed us the proof of himself in the Bible. When a person does not have faith, they have rejected the infallible and absolute proof that God has given to us of himself. And they are responsible for their rejection of it. Now, I want to talk today, however, about the prophecy of Joseph. But before I do, and Joseph is a picture, by the way, of the Lord Jesus, and we'll show you how he is a picture in many ways. Now, all through the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. He says, it's in the volume of the book, it is written of me, and everything in the Bible is about God Almighty coming in the form of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming to this earth and being born here, living here, dying for our sins, and then bodily rising from the dead. And it's all predicted ahead of time, but it's taught in many, many different ways. One of the ways is the story of Joseph. But before I say that, I simply like to talk about the purpose and reason why we have this program and why we got involved in it. But some years ago, I was reading in a New American Standard Version, and strangely enough, promoted by some fundamental leaders, and it just amazes me even today how some could ever promote that book. And I read in there where it said it's called Jesus, Father Joseph in Luke 2:33, and yet in that same passage, as we mentioned before, Jesus, when Mary, covering up, says, your father and your mother, referring to Joseph, and Jesus corrects her in front of the doctors of the law and says, I must be about my father's business. So in the King James, it says Joseph and his mother, but the New ASV says his father and his mother. I immediately went to my Greek New Testament, or the one that we studied out of in college, and it said pater and mater, that is father and mother. And that was quite shocking to me. It's different what the King James said. So I said, where in the world did this Greek text come from? Where did this come from? And so I began to do research on it, and the leading writers at that time were Ira Price from the University of Chicago and Kenyon from England. And in reading their writings, they both dogmatically state, like everybody knows, that it was given by the Jesuits. That particular text, Nestle's 23rd edition, which was the basis of the New ASV, thought, isn't this amazing? This text was probably be taught in most fundamental schools, given by an organization that the history books say was set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. And yet Ira Price of the University of Chicago, the leading writer in textual history, and Kenyon of England, another leading writer, dogmatically state that originally Nestle's Greek text came from the Jesuits. And so where did they get it? Well, they then promoted later on, Westcott and Hort promoted the same text. The Westcott and Hort text was the Vatican Bible coming out of the Vatican, the Sinaiticus. Now, where did that come from? Well, I investigated that. That came from Eusebius of Caesarea, who put out Bibles for Constantine. And they were really ecumenical Bibles that appealed to the heathens and so on. And the problem is, when I began to study these versions, the NIV, New International Version, New ASV, and I can't for the life of me understand how some leading evangelical pastors could ever recommend that stuff. I began to study the verses in these, verse by verse, and going through it, because there's been lists given out on this. And when I studied it, it's just an abomination. I mean, it comes from a corrupt Greek text, originally corrupted by Origen, then corrupted by many other people, then put up by Eusebius, who was a disciple of Origen, and then put out by Constantine, who was at that time the supreme pontiff of the pagan religion and had taken over the Christian churches. And so as I did the research, I decided I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And for 30 years, I was teaching young men for the ministry, and I thought, I got to say it right. I got to teach it right. And so I started to read every book I could get my hands on, pro and con, on this issue. And the information I'm giving is what is based on this information that I'm given. And so I had written a book at that time. And it, by the way, I don't want you to think that I'm just by myself on this thing, that it's just I come out of nowhere. But that is not true, because every the great fundamental leaders that people respect, like D.L. Moody, they dealt with the same problem we're dealing with there in their time. Westcott and Hort, they went to hear Moody speak, and we've got it on record. They heard him, one of them at least heard him speak, and they sort of looked at it as a condescending thing. Spurgeon, and he talked on the same thing that we're talking on the radio here. He talked about these people, you know, using these corrupt texts that we're talking about. Then we have Billy Sunday, and he said if scholarship disagrees with the scripture, scholarship can go plumb to the devil. And he at that time was a leading Greek individual. Greek teacher at that time, he came out and says, well, the Textus Receptus is dead. I guess he's afraid to say the King James is dead. But at that very same time, Billy Sunday went to New York City and had a revival meeting in New York City and had over 100,000 conversions to Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit uses this particular Bible. You know, one of the key verses that I use today is why we believe the King James is the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And we got the evidence and proof that this text, it was made in many translations into different languages, given by the apostles. God gave the words, then he gave the translation of the words. And I saw this in reading the Bible, and then I was reading Wycliffe, and he said the exact same thing. The apostles were given the words, but in the gift of tongues, they were given the translations of the words. They were translated into many languages, and these languages and these translations given by Christ and the apostles were translated by the King James translators, and then God put his blessing on it. Every single revival that ever came, came through this particular version, the King James Bible, in the English language. And it says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And there's been 100 years attack on it. And yet, the Christians that read the Bible every day read this more than all the rest of them put together after 100 years of attack on it, see? So it's the word of God. So we put this thing out. And I wrote a book on it. It was published by the leading independent Baptist publication at that time, the Baptist Bible Tribune. Went all over the world to pastors all over the world. And I am just saying, I am not alone in what I'm saying here. And then at that time, I was elected chairman of the Pastors Fellowship in Ohio. You know, there's about 700 independent Baptist churches. Not all of them was part of that fellowship, but they elected me over and over again. And I'm simply saying that I have the backing of many, many pastors and thousands of pastors in what I'm saying. I'm not alone in this. And so we're saying we have the Word of God in the King James Bible. Why? 99% of the ancient manuscripts that they have found back up the readings of the King James Bible in many translations. And so today we have these modern perversions based on less than 1%. The textual writers called the eclectic text, because even the 1% don't agree with each other. So Nestle's has 23rd editions, constantly changing these editions, and they put out another version. And it's not just the translation, it's the underlying corrupt Greek text behind it that are full of blasphemy. And we've given the books out. And by the way, when I talk about these books, I do not get one penny from these books. And churches are supporting they support me, and they're supporting this program, but we do not, I'm not making a cent out of doing this or a penny out of these books that we're promoting on here. We're saying these books so that you all can read them and see the documented evidence, and they are people that are very familiar with the chaos cult that is being promoted, that puts out these modern perversions of the scripture. They're experts on it, and they're written in very interesting terms. Now, a version we've talked about many times, or a not a version, but a book that you should read, every Christian should read, New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger. That is a masterpiece, and you need to read that book and see the changes that are made, why they're made, and the basis that they're made. Another fantastic book is a book, Which Version is God's Word, by Floyd Nolan Jones, and it gives the documented evidence for the readings in the King James. People are always trying to question whether that reading should be in there, and they put these questions in these versions, and a lot of these things where they put only a few manuscripts or this and that, it's just a plain lie. And you have the documented evidence in books like Which Version is God's Word? And then you have Which Bible Would Jesus Use? A masterpiece. And they show the corruption that is being taught in these schools and what is wrong with them and the truth of the Word of God. And then even before that, you have Bergen, who went into massive research on the readings. So the evidence for the King James Bible from every point of view is true, and that's why we're on here. Now, I simply want to, for the rest of the program, talk about Joseph, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph said he came on here, and he was a shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd. Joseph was loved of his father. Jesus was loved of his father. And Joseph is a picture of Jesus and the Jewish people. Joseph was sent to inquire for the welfare of his brothers. And Joseph went to inquire by his father. Jesus was sent for the welfare of the Jewish people. He said, I didn't come for the at that time for the Gentiles, but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, although he died for the sins of the world. And then Joseph was hated by his brothers. And Jesus was hated by the Jewish people at that time, and even many today, although there's a good minority that are believers in Jesus. But yet they got an attitude against Jesus, and he was hated by his brothers. And then they tried to destroy him, and finally they put him in a well, and he was sold unto the Midianites, the Gentiles. Well, Joseph was sold by his brother. And so was Jesus sold. And then Jesus went down, of course, into Egypt. And so did Joseph went down into Egypt. So did the Lord Jesus. And so eventually Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. And one day the Bible says that Jesus will become the ruler of this planet. And Joseph was second in command to Pharaoh, a picture of Jesus second in command to God the Father. And Joseph's name was called in the Egyptian Savior of the World, because a famine came up in Egypt. And at that famine, Joseph was put in charge. So the Jewish people came down, the 12 brothers came down to Egypt, and Joseph put the pressure on them. And he said, you are spies, to stimulate their conscience. And that means he put him in jail and said, you're spies. Well, they then thought they could get their heads cut off any moment. And they were in jail wondering if they were going to die. And they began to think about what they had done to Joseph. And finally, Joseph says, well, do you have a father? And they said, yeah, we have a father and one brother. And Joseph says, well, you bring this brother up to me, or that way I know that you're honest men. And he was putting the pressure on him. And one day Jesus said that God will put the pressure on Israel, like it's coming on them right now as the world's turning against them. And so then they go back, and Jacob says, well, I don't want you to send him. And they said, you got to send him, or we're all going to starve. And so the brothers come back again, and Joseph puts more pressure. And finally, Judah says, let me be a servant to you, because Benjamin had been blamed. And so Judah makes a speech, and he says, and the brothers say, we are condemned. God is judging us for what we did to our brother. And Judah says this in front of Joseph, and Joseph weeps. And he weeps, and he reveals himself to his brother. And then he saves his brother and his whole family of lives and feeds them and takes care of them. And one day when the Jewish people are about ready to be wiped out by the world, Jesus will reveal himself to them, and they will see him with the nails in his hands, and they will come to believe in him. He will save them from destruction, and he will be a blessing to them. God bless you.
You've been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.